You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled The Gospel in Modern Day Judaism, is the fifth message in the series What's the Difference? It is based on Isaiah chapter 53 and is taught by Rabbi Larry Feldman. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
What is the difference? That's just the question that we've been asking here since January. And what we've done is we've just held up the New Testament gospel of Jesus. We've been going through the book of Galatians and studying what is the gospel of Christ or the New Testament message of Jesus. And then we're comparing it. Well, what is the difference between this and different religions? We spent time studying Islam. What's the difference between Islam and the New Testament message of Jesus? We talked about Mormonism. What's the difference between Mormonism and the New Testament teachings of Jesus? And last week, we even talked about religious traditions, even within Christendom, that sometimes touches upon the idea of Jesus plus nothing, what Jesus did on the cross, period. All means all, and that's all that all means in terms of your sins being dealt with on the cross. This morning, we're going to have fun, and what's kind of cool, when you read Galatians chapter 2, Paul was dealing with the collision between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and religious traditions within Judaism 2,000 years ago, and how they collided, in a sense, and the great Pharisee Paul, Saul of Tarsus, dealt with that. And we thought, how great would it be if we made the topic today, well, what is the difference between the New Testament gospel and message of Jesus and modern-day Judaism? And so we figured the best person to teach this message would be Rabbi Feldman, that is the rabbi here at the Messianic Jewish congregation here every Saturday. And so yesterday and every week we have Messianic Jewish believers that gather in this place. And so if anybody could teach on what is the difference, it would be Rabbi Larry. Am I right? So would you please welcome up our brother.
I show my age. What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. You say good morning and hello and welcome, and we say Shavua Tov. That's the difference. Say Shavua Tov. You didn't all say that. Shavua. Friday nights, Saturday morning, we all say Shabbat Shalom. Everyone, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Give you a shalom is a great word. Shalom means peace. It means health. It means it's so much. The equivalent is not salam. That is different. The word shalom is a true peace. The other word is to submit. We teach peace with God. Judaism. Jewish people teach that. So we say on them, Sunday morning, Saturday night, I love, it's my favorite phrase, it's Shavua Tov. Everyone, Shavua Tov. It flows. It's nice. I like Shavua Tov. It means have a great, Tov, good. Shavua, have a good 7 days, a good week. So it begins Saturday night when sundown. And so I was looking at this, your outlines, you have them there, take them out, open them up, whatever, make an airplane, whatever you want. But what's the difference? I was thinking of that just now with you. Listen, the difference between you and me, between Saturday morning and Sunday morning, concerning the gospel, get ready, here's the difference. There is none. There is no difference in the gospel, a message of our salvation through Yeshua. Jesus is our Messiah. You talked about the Lord's Supper just now. The only difference that you'd hear me say is that this is Passover. This is during the Lord was taking Passover with his disciples, and he took the bread. We don't say bread. He took the matzah. That's what it was. Jewish people understand. He took the matzah and said, this is symbolic of my body. The sacrifice of this lamb, it's me. He took the fruit of the vine, the blood. Jewish people don't like to talk about blood. But it's very Jewish because the blood is the Passover lamb. It's the blood. It's Exodus chapter 12. There is no difference in the gospel. There is a difference between our gospel and Judaism. It's my people, and I love my people. There's a big difference. And difference between the Jewish gospel and the gospel. There really is none. And I'm going to try to show you that. The gospel you find in the New Covenant, I find in the Tanakh, the Old Covenant. It's the same gospel. But Judaism is different. Judaism, like many other religions, they mean well, but they've gotten away from the gospel. I love when some of you say, I got a Jewish person. They say they want to talk to you. They want to talk to me. I say, I know. And their attitude is, yeah, we want to show him a thing or two. We're going to teach him. And not that I know everything, but I like when they do that. Because most of our Jewish people do not know. They don't know the difference between what they believe, what the rabbis have told them, what Judaism is, and what the Jewish gospel is, or the New Covenant gospel. They don't know. So many times in my life, I find myself what I call is doing apologetics. I'm talking about the Messiah. I'm talking about things in the Bible. But the most important thing for all of us to do is always sharing our faith, witnessing. What is witnessing and sharing your faith? And most believers get all nervous and they don't know what to do. It's simple. This is what you share. You know the old phrase, K-I-S-S, kiss. Keep it simple. Anyway, keep it simple. What's the gospel? Very easy. The death, burial, resurrection of our Messiah. That is the good news. You really can shorten that. It's the death and resurrection of our Messiah. That's the gospel. And we are taught to share that with people. You have to go through a lot of hoops and apologetics to try to share that, but that's what we want to always do, bringing people, whether it's Jewish, whether it's Muslims, any kind of people, into the kingdom of God. Now, you are familiar with doing it, and I was too, because I've learned it, in sharing the gospel, and I remember in the early days, doing the Romans Road, you know, Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, the consequences of sin, but God in his love, mercy, has demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us, Romans. So you can take people, the whole gospel, through Romans, but I can tell you, you could do the same gospel, truly the same gospel to Jewish people from their Old Covenant scriptures. And so I like to share with you some of that Old Covenant scriptures, but show you the difference between that and Judaism. Because our Jewish people have taken a sidetrack. Don't get me wrong. I love my people. I'm willing to die for my people's salvation. I'm willing to do anything to share my heart and my faith. In fact, I've given 44 years to that. That's what I do. That's my life, is to share with the Jewish people. So what I'd like to do, I want to take you and give you some of the gospel from the Jewish scriptures. And when I mean Jewish scriptures, believe it or not, it's old and new, but I'm just going to deal with the old part. And share with you the good news, but show you some of the differences. So if you have outlines, you might want to fill it in. Oh, I'm sorry. There's the Romans Road. I'm summarizing it for you. 3, all have sinned, consequences, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, and Romans 3:4, being justified as a gift by God's grace through the redemption, Romans 10:9, but if you believe in your heart that Yeshua, Jesus died, so I'm not focused on that. If you think I'm rushing, yeah, I am, but it's not important right there, and 5:1, therefore we have been justified and have peace with God. That's what we normally share. We do in a lot of different ways. But I want to share that from the Jewish scriptures, the Old Covenant scriptures, and show how my people differ with that. How my people, when they say to me, we're going to teach Larry a thing or two. And I say, good, that's fine. Please, let me talk to them. And so I want you to write in there what I want to show you today, the next slide. Thank you. God's plan of atonement, the gospel, the good news of Messiah, can be found in the Jewish scriptures. It's very important for me, for congregations and churches, to realize the gospel. Don't confuse it. We're all so busy with our pet peeves and proving it's not charismatic, it's a pre-trib, it's a post-trib. They don't know what you're talking about. All you want to talk about with people who don't believe is Yeshua, Jesus, died for your sins, and he was raised. And that's what we did this morning. A very Jewish custom during the Passover, when Yeshua himself said, the bread is symbolic of my body, and the fruit of the vine, the wine, is symbolic of my blood that was shed for you. Very Jewish expression. By the way, that is our difference. It's just the way we express ourselves. We are teaching the same gospel. So The good news can be found. And I want to start with you. If you have your outlines, I want you to fill it in because I want you to see. And what I'd like to do is each point show maybe Jewish and the difference with the in the Bible. First, fill it in. The Jewish scriptures teaches us that all have sinned. Now, as soon as I bring that up to a Jewish person, they look at me and they go, we don't sin. Now, I'm bringing things out, and you take these notes down. They say, of course you sin, but yeah. They say, but that's a Gentile thing. We don't believe in sin. Actually, they don't. They believe you're born. We believe that when you're born, you're a sinner. That beautiful little baby. That beautiful little innocent little baby. He's not so innocent. You got to teach him good. You don't have to teach him evil. Because evil just flows from us. We're born with a sin nature. I always tell people, our wonderful forefather Adam, he didn't give us the greatest. He didn't leave us with the greatest inheritance. And most of the trouble is all because of Adam. But don't get mad at Adam, because he was our best. He was our best representative, and he blew it. But all of sin, Jewish people tell us, no, you're born neutral. You're just born neutral. You have a good inclination, and you have an evil inclination. And you have to fight that evil inclination, and you have to try to win with the good. There is no evil automatic. We teach there's a difference. We teach Jewish and Gentile, you and me, teach there or born with a sin nature. It comes from Jewish people say, no, that's a Gentile, non-Jewish thing. And I look at them and I say, wait a second. Moses gave us a whole book about sin. We got a whole book in the law. It's all about sin, Leviticus. We have a Jewish holiday. The holiest Jewish holiday of the year is only about sin and our separation from God and how we get close to God. There's a whole big Jewishness that teaches us. So Judaism, in a sense, gets a little bit away from that. And I like to show Jewish people that in our Bible, it teaches us we all have sinned. The kings, this is your outline, I'm trying to weave it in. The kings of Israel told us that we've all sinned. King, who's the first king there? Do I have a first king? Yeah, good. Solomon said it. The wisest man that ever lived told us, and I share with his Jewish people, when you say it's not Jewish, of course it's Jewish. Solomon told us. He said in a great prayer, when they sin against you, for there's no man who does not sin. Solomon, our king, said. He said it in Ecclesiastes. Indeed, there's not a righteous man on the earth who continually does good and who never sins. It's throughout all the Jewish Bible. So when Jewish people say, we don't talk about sin, I say, you don't want to, but it's in your Bible. And Leviticus is all about how to have a restored relationship with God. King David said it. David said it in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. God has looked down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there is any who understand, any who seek after God. And he says, they've all turned aside. Together they have all become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. David said that. And a lot of times you and I, just a little pet peeve I have, when people say, well, I sought out God. Listen carefully. You never sought him out. None of you. No. I was lost and I saw believers and I talked to Frank and he seemed very nice. So I started searching. You didn't search for God. You thought you did. But it was God searching for you. God was always knocking on the heart. You never sought for him because you can't. No man can do it. God is the one who sought you out, and he led you all along. The kings tell us that. The prophets said it. Isaiah, the prophet, says it this way. For all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like filthy garments, filthy rags. Isaiah said it. Jeremiah says it the best, probably, in Jeremiah 17:9. Your heart is deceitful above all else, and desperately wicked. Now, don't turn to your neighbor now and say, you know, you are deceitful and wicked. But that's what you are. That's what flows from the human heart. There is no hope for us. Jewish people go against that. They say, oh, no, we are basically good. You are not basically good. And that's based on the Jewish Bible. So the Jewish gospel takes you a different way. Let me write these three things down. All the good news from all the other Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Judaism, all of them. There's three things you can always tell when something's false. One, they mess with the Bible. It would make sense if God gave his message through the Bible. Therefore, man should try to discredit the Bible. Second, they try to take away from who Yeshua, Jesus, is. They take away from the person of Jesus. There's three areas. You always remember. That's how you deal with it. One, what do you think about the Bible? That's how I find false groups. I said, tell me, what do you think about the Bible? Well, we got this book and this book and no. Bible. Second, I said, what do you think of Yeshua? Oh, he's a good man. Beep, 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 beep. As soon as you hear someone say that, he's not just a good man. He's the best man. But I said, well, no, he was charismatic. Beep, 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 beep. Wrong. Well, he was a prophet. I don't like the beeps anymore. Okay, but he's all those things. But he's God. Nothing less. Take away from that, and you're taken away from the only one who can save you. False groups teach you against the Bible. Don't add to it. Don't take away from the Word of God. From Genesis to 2 Chronicles, I got you all confused on that one. Okay. That's the way the Jewish people rearrange it. The last book in the old Jewish Bible is the 2 Chronicles. They just, same thing, just rearrange it. And Matthew to Revelation, which they don't look at anyway. So, take away from the Bible, they take away from who Yeshua is, and then they mess with the gospel. Makes sense, doesn't it? If it's the Bible and it's Yeshua and it's how to get saved, well, then the world will mess with that and try to destroy us. And that's what the devil, the evil one, and mankind does. They take away from the good news of what the great, when we say, Paul, what a rabbi. God transformed him and showed him what the good news was. But it came out of his own scriptures. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, the heart's deceitful. Well, I'm getting sidetracked. Okay, but I'm having fun. Okay, so the heart's deceitful above all things. One. The Bible, Jewish Bible, teaches we've all sinned. Jewish people say, no, we don't. Neutral, good and evil, but the Bible is different. That second, there's a consequence to be paid for sin. Jewish people, Jewish gospel, no, there is not. That's what they do. They say, God weighs in the balances. And they say, God's good. You know, you have good deeds, you have bad deeds. And if you have too many bad deeds, well, maybe you'll wait for a little while. You say, well, that's purgatory. Yeah, they get it all from us. And so Jewish people, they say, and there's a lot of Jewish religious thought. They say that all Jewish people are saved. All right, maybe not the worst ones. They have trouble, but they have to wait a little longer. So Jewish people, when it comes to the consequences of sin, is they don't think about the future. They will tell you, heaven and earth is here now. This is it. They don't look to the future, but the Bible does. There's a consequence to be paid for sin. And the Bible always taught us that. Even the Jewish people, their gospel teaches us no sin, no consequences. And that's why I love dealing with my people. Because they say, Larry, don't you know? I say, well, I know a little. And I study the Bible. Consequences. Ezekiel tells the Jewish people their consequences. See, you could say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. They don't want to hear that. But the Bible and Ezekiel, and I always bring out the Jewish prophets, although most Jewish people wouldn't know Ezekiel is one of the Jewish prophets, but because Jewish people don't know their Bible. They don't study their Bible. Now, remember, you say, which Jewish people? There are basically three groups. There's Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. And they don't agree on anything except Jesus is not the Messiah. That's what they will tell you. And so there's differences between the three. Some are very religious and keep to the rabbi's traditions. The conservative, a little less the traditions. And the reform, almost no traditions except Judaism. There's a consequence to be paid. The Bible makes it very clear. Ezekiel, behold, all souls are mine. Soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son. The soul who sins will die. Person who sins, he says, will die. There is a difference. God tells us that if you sin, there's the consequence. Now, my people would look at the rabbis. Now, I don't look like your typical rabbi. I shaved this morning. I don't have the curls. I don't look like your typical rabbi. I'm a messianic rabbi. I do like to say to the Jewish people, I'm a rabbi. They go, really? What kind? I say, well, not the kind you think. And they say, are you Orthodox? I go, no. They go, oh, really? Because they look, they're the real ones. They say, you're conservative? I go, no, not really. They go, oh, not real. What? Reform, they say? I said, no. They go, lower? Anyway, so I'm about as low as you can get on that totem pole. There are consequences, though, to be paid for sin. The Bible teaches us that there are consequences for and a lot of our people think that the rabbis, at least, they're sincere and they're going to heaven. They are not. They are not going to heaven. And sometimes people say, yeah, but how about the religious rabbis from the Middle Ages and that pray every morning, and they're praying, they're doing rote Hebrew prayers most of the time. Some of them might be sincere, some are not. I'm not trying to just get on all my people. But listen, there is no Jewish person, even the great Rabbi Schneerson, the Rebbe they call him, who's died a number of years ago, the greatest of all the rabbis, no one of the most religious people in the world have a relationship with God unless their sins have been dealt with. The gospel teaches sin's got to be wiped out. There's got to be an atonement. And every false group that you've been studying takes away from the good news. And almost every false group teaches a different Bible, a different way of salvation. You work for it. Or Yeshua is not quite God. He is a God. Or he is divine. I'm not supposed to welcome them in when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door or the Mormons knock on my door. I'm not supposed to, but I do. I like to tease them. So I open the door. And I like to argue with them, because I say, you believe that Yeshua is a God, don't you? I said, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Oh, really? Anyway, so I like to confront, and I don't give them time to argue back with me. I say, thank you, goodbye, think about that. And anyway, so there's a consequence. Jewish people don't teach the consequence. Isaiah, he said, behold, God's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so heavy that it cannot hear you, but it's your sins that have separated from you and your God. Same for believers. You live a life of sin, you're breaking fellowship with God. Your sins have separated you. And that's what I always say to my people. What do you do for atonement? That should lead us to the third point. Fill it in here. The Jewish Bible teaches us, the second one, there's a consequence. Third, the Jewish Bible teaches us that atonement only comes through sacrifice. This, one of the key things I want to share with you today is the Jewish concept of atonement or sin. When I become a believer, I got saved back in January 15th, 1972, and when Jewish people become believers, when we meet with our family, friends, neighbors, all relatives, everybody, the first thing we try to do, not necessarily right, is to try to prove to our family, friends, and neighbors that we're still Jewish. That's a big thing for us. Because they say, you're no longer a Jew. I say, yes, we are. We always try to prove how Jewish we are. I do the same. And I tell the story. I met with a rabbi. He was a modern rabbi. I swim every morning. And so I was swimming my laps. This was back when I was in Jersey. And I would swim, and I met with him one morning. And so we're talking, very friendly rabbi. I said, you know, rabbi, you and I, we're a lot alike. Oh, no, we're not. I said, yeah. Both you and I, we're a lot alike. No, not at all. How are we alike? I said, well, you and I both believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked at me. I said, yes. He goes, oh. He didn't like, he was not expecting that expression. And he said, but we're not alike. I said, yeah, we're both alike. Because that's what I'm trying to do, prove we're alike. He said, how else? Well, I believe with perfect faith. That's the great Jewish philosopher, Maimonides, the 13 principles of faith. He begins all of them, I believe with perfect faith. And one of his 13 principles is, I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah. So I said to the rabbi, you and I are alike because we both believe with perfect faith. Immediately, don't even have to say Maimonides, he knows. I said, we both believe in the coming of Messiah. Really, we do? He said, but we're not alike. I said, yes, we are alike. How else are we alike? I said, well, we worship on the same day. He said, no, we don't. You worship Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. I said, no, I don't. I worship on Shabbat. Really? He was shocked. But we're not alike. I said, yes, we are alike. How else are we alike? I said, I observe the Jewish holidays. He goes, what do you mean you observe the Jewish holiday? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, Purim. We do all of the holidays. You should come. Purim. What is it? March 19th. We're going to try to join you on the 20th. You're joining us on the 19th. We're having a special pour and play. That's an advertisement. I come for lunch afterwards. It's great. Okay. March 19th, it's our celebration. We've been here 9 years. Anyway, so I say to the rabbi, we observe all the Jews. Really? We're not alike. I said, yes, we are. He goes, how else? I said, my daughters. What about your daughters? I said, they get up here when they were 13, and they have a bat mitzvah. Bat mitzvah, daughter, son of the commandment, the law. And we teach our children to have, say the Jewish prayers, and they have bat mitzvahs. With us, of course, it's different because our children have to show how they become believers. I said, we have a... Then he looks at me after a while and goes, maybe we are alike. And I look at him and go, we're not at all alike. He's, what do you mean we're not alike? Here's the difference, folks. What's the difference? Here it is. What do you do for atonement? Really? I don't say it this way, but what is your gospel? What is your good news? What is your hope? How does a loving God accept you? What do you do? Now, you don't ask the question if you don't know the answer. I knew his answer. And his answer is, and write it down. This is what Jewish people will tell you they do for good. Most don't know anything, but they'll say this. We do prayers, fasting, good deeds, charity. Now, if some of you today are unsaved, you're not believers, you have never accepted Messiah, that's what you do. That's what your rabbis have told you. You pray, you fast, you do good deeds. You go on Yom Kippur, you beat your chest, you confess your sins to God, you fast, and God forgives you. God does not. Because that's not the way of salvation. That's not the way to have a relationship with God. That's what he said. We fast, we pray in good deeds and do good deeds. And I said to the rabbi, where did you get that from? Now, I knew where he got that from. He got it from a little town outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Some rabbis got together. And the rabbis said, we do not have our temple anymore. We don't have the sacrifice anymore. We don't have Judaism. We're going to be destroyed and scattered throughout the world. And there's nothing to hold us together anymore. So they made up modern rabbinic Judaism 2,000 years ago. That is a different way of atonement. I love my people. It's a false gospel. They mean well. They wanted to preserve their people. But it's a wrong gospel and it's a wrong teaching. That's the difference. You pray, you fast good deeds. So I said to the rabbi, I said, where did you get that from? He said, from the Jewish Council of Yavne in 90. That's when he got that. And I looked at him and said, what gives you the right to change God's rules? And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, because Leviticus 17, is it up there? Is it up there, please? There it is. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. There must be a sacrifice. There must be the shedding of blood. They don't want to talk about it. Moses himself told us about it. There's got to be a shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no hope. There's no forgiveness. And the rabbi looked at me, he goes, but we don't have the temple anymore. We don't have the sacrifice anymore. And I said, I know, precisely. He said, so we made up prayer, fasting, good deeds. I said, that's nice, but it's not getting you into the kingdom of God. Yeshua, Jesus said to the Jewish people, I think I finished with it, I'm adding it first. Anyway, he said, what must we do? The Jewish community said to Yeshua, what must we do to do the works of God? That's what Jewish people are looking for, works. All the false groups you've heard about, works. What must we do to do the works of God? Well, the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua answered, this is the work of God. Here it is. Get ready. Believe on him whom God has sent. Amen. That's the good news. Yes. Believe the gospel. Whether it's found in Galatians, whether it's found in the Old Covenant, believe the good news. What is that good news? Yeshua died, was buried, and resurrected, period. Amen. Believe the good news. You can't add to that. And so I said to the rabbi, there's got to be an atonement. We don't have it. I said, the Messiah came before the Jewish temple was destroyed. God knew it, and he provided for the sins of the world through the Messiah. That's the purpose of the Messiah. Jewish concept is false, and it's wrong, though I love my people. If a Jewish person's here today, for some reason they say, I'm anti-Semitic and I hate my people. I love my people. And I've dedicated my life to sharing that their gospel, Judaism, meaning well, does not get you to have a relationship with God. And that's what my whole life, I tell you what I'd rather do than anything in the world. I love sharing. I love preaching to my congregation, to you. But I'll tell you, maybe I sound like I want to loaf. All I want to do is sit in Starbucks or some coffee shop or in a park bench and talk one-on-one to a Jewish person. That's all I want to do my whole life, and share the good news, how to get into the kingdom of God, how to have a relationship with God. It's got to be by believing the good news of Messiah. And as Rabbi Saul said, I don't care who comes, an angel of God. Well, he wouldn't be from God. An angel comes down from the devil and gives you another gospel. He should be accursed. Because there's only one way, and our Jewish people do not know that way. Fill it in if we can, please. The Jewish Bible teaches the Messiah was the sacrifice. My Jewish people say, no, it's not. The Messiah is not the sacrifice. God doesn't want to kill a person. It's true. No man can die for another man. So Judaism will tell you, no man, God doesn't want the death of a person. It's true, he doesn't. God wants the death of his son, the Messiah, for us, for our sin. And he was supposed to die for not just my people, but also you, the Gentiles. That's why Messiah came. I know it's not always presented to you that way, but that's why he came. And I don't mean any racial bias or anything, but the Bible tells us that the Messiah was supposed to come for my people as promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them. He was supposed to come for my people and also the Gentiles. Yeshua is for the world. And Isaiah says that. And when I talked to the rabbi, and we got to follow along Isaiah 49, because the rabbi, I said, I want to talk to you about the servant of God, why the Messiah, the servant came. And the rabbi looked at me, and he says, that's not the Messiah, that is Israel. I said, follow along, Isaiah 49:5. And now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to God. I said to the rabbi, who's Jacob? He said, that's Israel. I said, okay. The servant is to bring Israel back to God so that he might be honored him. 49:6, he says, it's little thing, too small thing that you should be my servant just to bring Israel back, the tribes of Jacob. Restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you to be everyone, a light to the Gentiles. The purpose of the Messiah was to die for Jews and Gentiles. There's only one way of salvation, folks, only one. I'm not making any determinations on people like Mother Teresa. I'm not making those determinations. I know how someone gets into a relationship with God. It's not by giving your whole life and doing good deeds. And she's done many. There's many people who've done good deeds. It doesn't get you in. It's benefited mankind, but it doesn't get you into heaven. Good deeds don't get you into heaven. It's the good deed of Messiah, and you put your trust in him. Yeshua came to die for our Jewish people and also the Gentiles. I will make your light to the Gentiles. He took our place, and I said to the rabbi, Isaiah 53, verse 3. I like it. It's fun. Follow along with me. If you're hungry, don't worry. There's food. Anyway, he was despised. The rabbi said that he is Israel. I said, yeah, I know. You think it's Israel. I say it's the servant, Jesus. So I said, good, let's follow. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He, rabbi, who's the he? Israel. No, it's Messiah. Okay, good. He was despised, and we, rabbi, who's the we? Who's the we is Israel. I said, good, then the we can't be the he. So he took out his Hebrew Bible, made sure there's two different pronouns. I said, the purpose of Messiah is to come and die for the sins of the world. Jewish people are not concerned about a Messiah. You say, don't they believe in a Messiah? Yes and no. Don't they believe in the future kingdom? Yes and no. They don't know what they believe because they don't read anything. So, well, don't they read their Bible? No. They don't know the difference between a prayer book and a Bible because they don't read it. They're not interested in it. So it says he was despised. Messiah, I said, was despised. We, the Jewish people, our sorrows, the Jewish people, he bore. Our sorrows, he carried. It's the Jewish people there. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he would be pierced through for our transgressions. Now listen carefully. The we and all that, he would die for my people, the Jewish people, Israel. He would die for Israel. Now, if you're sitting there, and I hope you are, saying, what about us? It says he died for you too. We're all included. He didn't leave anyone out, but he made a promise to his people. They say, yeah, I love when the Jewish people say, yeah, yeah. Jewish people say, we're the chosen ones. I said, good, you're chosen? They said, yeah. I said, what for? Well, I don't know. Then they make the joke, well, we're chosen to suffer. I said, no, we're not chosen to suffer. Listen, this is why Jewish people were chosen, to bring forth the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know why else they were chosen? To bring forth the prophets, God's messengers to the world. You know why else they were chosen? To bring forth the Messiah, to bring forth the Word of God. They were chosen, not because they're better. He makes that very clear. Moses says, not because they're better, because God made a choice. So that through the Jewish people, they were chosen to bring forth the hope of the world. Messiah was to die for Jews and Gentiles. I want to skip, but you should make a note. Isaiah 53 is the greatest chapter in all the Bible for bringing Jewish people to faith. It's what brought me to faith. It's the most powerful testimony in the scriptures. Forgive me, I'm not looking at the clock. I've lost it. Anyway, number five, the Bible teaches that we must accept the Messiah. Jewish people say, no, we don't even know who the Messiah is. So you prove it from the Old Testament scriptures. Psalm 22, let me summarize it because it's too long. First three verses of Psalm 2. Let me summarize the first verse first. Hold on, okay? Why are the nations, Gentiles, in an uproar? Why is the whole nation and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand. They take counsel against the Lord and against his Mashiach. Psalm 2 tells us the first three verses, the world's upset because God is saying to the world, I'm going to put my king, my Messiah, my son, the ruler, the anointed one, over all the earth. The nations say, we don't want that. No, that's Psalm 2. It's a coronation psalm that all the kings, God on Israel, recited before they became their king. And so God says, I'm going to put my king in Israel to rule the world. Verses 4, 5, and 6, 1, 2, and 3, the world says no. 4, 5, and 6, let me just read 4, verse 4. Verse 4 says, he who sits in the heaven laughs. God says, I'm putting my king. And the world says, no, you're not. And God looks and goes, you're opposing me? God laughs. Thank you. That's it. He's laughing at the world. We're rising up against God. When you get angry at God and say, you're not going to serve him. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to church on Sunday. I'm going to get back at God. Good. You don't get back at him. He laughs. The only one who suffers is you. You can't stop his plan. You might as well join along. Enjoy the benefits. The world says no. God says yes. Verse 7, 8, and 9. That's great. Psalm 2. 7, 8, and 9. I will surely tell the decree. This is an interview with Fox. I used to say CNN. I don't go there. The Fox and Yeshua. I will surely tell the decree. It's like Megan is sitting down with Yeshua and said, so, Yeshua, what did God the Father say to you? And Yeshua says, let me tell you what he said. He said, I will surely tell the decree that God said to me, today you're my son, I have begotten you. And then she says, what else did he say? And Yeshua says, God told me, ask me, whatever you want, you got it. You got control of the world. The nations, you'll shatter them, you're going to rule the world. And Yeshua said, but they said no, but I laughed at them. And God told me, I'm going to rule the world. That's Psalm 2. So God gives the world a warning. Verse 10, now therefore, kings, take warning, show discernment. You judges of the earth, worship the Lord with reverence, rejoice with trembling, do homage, worship, kiss, however you want to translate it, kiss the sun. Psalm 2 says this, the way you treat the sun determines how God will treat you. Amen. It's scary. You fall down and worship him for being the Messiah born in Bethlehem, for being the Messiah who would be despised and rejected, who is the Messiah who would be born of a virgin, a young woman, the Messiah who would come and suffer for the sins of the world, the one who would come before the destruction of the Jewish temple. You bow down and fall down and accept the Messiah into your life as the one who died for you,
You're putting your trust in receiving him. You're trusting only in him. The way you treat him determines how God is going to treat you. How do you know you're getting to heaven? How do you know those doors are going to be open? How do you know you're going to be received? If God looked at me and said, Larry, how are you getting in? Where is it? Oh, okay. That's it. Now, if you're Jewish and you don't like that, I understand. But he died on that. It was a means of killing and capital punishment that Rome did. Yeshua, our Messiah, died for our sins. That's how I'm getting in. What shall I do? Last point. The Jewish Bible teaches us, accept him now, before it's too late. Ho, everyone who thirsts, are you thirsty? Not for water, for meaning, life, contentment, joy, peace, fulfillment. Are you hungry or thirsty? Yeshua says all the time, you're thirsty, come to me, I'll give you a drink. You're hungry, come to me, I'll give you bread. There's only one way to be satisfied. And it's not through my Jewish, it's not, and I say to my people, it is not through lox and bagel. It's not. It's not through Jewish cakes and cooking. It's fine. It's not through chopped liver, which most of you say, thank God it's not chopped liver. Anyway, but anyway. No. It is only through our Messiah. That's why he came. Judaism, God bless my people, don't know. They're being led astray by my rabbis who mean well. Some of them have good hearts and are trying to preserve Judaism and a culture and a people while the world rises up against them. But they've lost the message. Ho, everyone, you thirst, come to the water. You come, buy, eat. I like where it says, you who have no money. We don't need money, folks. You don't need money. Why do you spend money for what's going to be empty? Doesn't satisfy. For not bread. Your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear, listen, that you may live. Then I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him now while he is near. Forsake your way. And the Bible teaches us, put your trust in Messiah. That is the only way. My people don't know. God's plan of atonement. Thank you. God's plan of atonement, forgiveness, the gospel, Galatians 2, the gospel and the Bible, new covenant and old covenant, can be found in the Tanakh. That is the old covenant. T stands for Torah, N stands for prophets, Nevi'im, CH stands for the writings. God's plan can be found there. And I like to end with this, my favorite verses that I quote so often. The Messiah was talking to Jewish people and he says, which is appropriate, John 8:24. Therefore, he says, I said to you, Jewish people, and the rest of the world, you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. Nothing else. Unless you believe that I am he, you are lost. Sin separates you from God and kills. Unless you believe I'm your only hope, I'm the sacrifice. I'm the one who came to die and shed my blood and kill and have my body killed and broken for you. Unless you believe, you're lost in your sins. There's my conversation. What shall we do to do the works of God? That's very Jewish. That's a loaded phrase. To do the works, favor, good favor with God. This is the work of God. Believe on him. Too easy for Jewish people. I must work. I must listen to the rabbis. I must work and pray a lot. I have to do good deeds. I have to do good. I give a lot of money. Believe on him whom God has sent. But as many, I think there's one more, as many as say yes. That's the way. As many as receive him. January 15th, 1972. Young man, 24 years old, 23. I said to God, I believe Yeshua is my Messiah. I believe he died for me. I now want to receive him into my life as my Messiah and Savior. My life has never been the same. And listen carefully. I became a true Jew who follows his Messiah. That has never changed. I don't follow Judaism. My Jewish people say, you don't follow Judaism. You know what I say to them? Neither do you. Oh, yeah, you're right. Anyway. Father God, thank you for the good news of Messiah. Comes from the scriptures, both Old and New Covenant. Lord, my heart's desire and prayer is that you'd open up the eyes of my people and show them there's only hope in one, your Messiah, your Son, the one who's to come for our people and also the Gentiles, that the good news is salvation only through our Messiah who died, was buried, and was resurrected. And if we believe on that, we can experience eternal life and have our lives transformed and changed. We thank you for these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Let's all stand as we sing this song. This is now real more meaning when we sing this song because of the message that we hear today. Let's sing it, okay? He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing, Yeshua Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. The ransom from heaven, Yeshua Messiah, Lord of all. I just want to hear you in verse 2. It's fine. Yeshua Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Yeshua Messiah, Lord of all. Let's cry this out. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God. the light of the world, Yeshua Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Yeshua Messiah, Lord of all, Yeshua Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Yeshua Messiah, Lord of all, Yeshua Messiah, Lord of all.
Was Rabbi Feldman awesome? Am I on? Can you hear me? All right. Hey, Larry came up to me and says, Frank, I'm sorry I went over. I don't care. I know. Wasn't that awesome? Okay, I want to say this. Hallelujah, right? Yes. You know what? Larry, come up here a second. Does anyone have your cell phone? I want you to take a picture of me and Larry.
Oh, that's good.
Are you ready?
Guys, my buddy.
Take a picture of Larry and I. Now, you need to know.
Hold on. I've got to cover the fat.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sucking in. Do you know what's the same about us? Isaiah 53. I'm a Gentile who read Isaiah 53 after reading the Gospels and became a believer and dedicated my life as a Gentile to following a Jewish rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, right? Larry is a Jew who became a believer in Yeshua by reading Isaiah 53. We are both pastoring in this building, and both of us have been saved by the Scriptures. By the Scriptures, Isaiah 53, friends, Jew and Gentile. If you look on our walls over to the right, in Genesis, from Abraham, someone's going to come from the seed of Abraham that will bless all the families of the earth. You read in the book of Revelation, it says that this person, Jesus, hung on a cross, and all heaven sings a new song, for he is worthy to break the seal and open the scrolls because he, the Messiah, died. And because you were slain in your blood, you've purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. All of us have been washed in the blood of Yeshua.
Because Yeshua came to die for the Jewish people.
First.
No.
Yes, right? Jew, then Gentile.
It says to the Jew first, and
yes.
Also.
Yes.
The Gentile.
Yes.
Also.
So,
not second. Also.
Also.
Also. Big difference.
So, wait. So, listen to this. So, Larry has a lot of fun saying, Jesus is for you Gentiles, too. It's true. We are having fun. What is the difference? What is the difference? Next week, we're going to take a little break because next Sunday is Valentine's Day. And obviously it's a celebration of love. We're going to talk about the motivation of the cross, the greatest love of all, God's love toward you. And so we're going to have a special Sunday next Sunday about the motivation of the cross. Why did God come? Because he felt obligated, because he loves you. It's awesome.
I do want you to mark down March 19th.
Right.
Our anniversary here.
Yes.
We came on Purim.
That's
this
right.
is 9 years later. I've told my congregation I want them to invite. I've been telling them, one person, husband and wife, two people. Everyone, no one gets off. You got to invite everyone. But I want you to join with us on that special day. We got a special play. Mm-hmm. I'll be sharing. We got a lunch. You're welcome and invited to. And so please come March 19th and bring your family, friends, and the Jewish neighbors.
That's right. What does that say over there? One people, one family.
You got it.
Because of the cross. Hallelujah. We had fun today. I do want to say this. Speaking of marriage, we're starting our marriage enrichment class right now. So if you are here and you have a good marriage, join us. If you have an okay marriage, join us. If you got a bad marriage, join us. If you're thinking about getting married someday, join us. Mike and Pat, we're starting a class called, and what's it again? It's
Art of Marriage.
The Art of Marriage. Now, as we close, my Hebrew is not as good as Larry's. So Larry's going to bless us with the Aaronic blessing.
Taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, when Aaron decided to bless the people of God. So it's going to be done in Hebrew and English, all bowed together. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai ponovalecha v'chunecha. Yes, Adonai ponovalecha v'yisamlecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. B'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu, Baruch Haba B'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, in our Messiah Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.